And turn with us to Genesis chapter 8. Genesis chapter 8. We're going to be studying today from verses 20 to 22. Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 22. Give everybody a chance to get it on their electronic devices. And it's easy in the Bible because you just open to the beginning, but on the electronics, you still got to search and do all that. Okay, Genesis chapter 8, beginning in the 20th verse. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and all the clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. As long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease." Let's pray together. Well, Father, we do thank you for this time in your word today. We ask that as we come to your word, that your spirit would fill this place, that you would direct our hearts and minds to the truths that you have for us, that we would understand, Father, what you would have us to take away from this place. So, Lord, we just pray for your peace, your grace, your guidance, and your guard over this place. Let nothing of man be involved in this time, Lord, but only what you have for us. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. While you're sitting down, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever tried to work with someone that no matter how you tried to help them, no matter how much you tried to instruct them, they would not listen to a word you had to say and just would do things their own way? Anybody ever had something like that?
Never.
You know, and then to make things worse is when things went wrong, they come running back to you and say, "Oh, it's all bad. I don't know what happened." And they want you to help them. What do you want to say at that point? Yeah, not, as it would say today. You know, there are times you just feel like throwing your hands up in the air and saying, if that's the way you are, then fine. Do it your own way and fail. How frustrating can it be to work with people like that who won't listen, but just go ahead and make mistake after mistake and after mistake, and then never take responsibility for the mistakes they're making? Wasn't my fault. Wasn't me. I didn't do it. Someone else must have told me how to do it like this. You've heard it all. You know, sometimes we just have to let them go their own way, find out that they don't have all the answers, by falling flat on their face again and again and again until they learn to listen. Well, as we come to verse 20 in this chapter, we know that Noah and his family and all the animal kinds that were with them on the ark had landed finally safely, and God instructed them to leave the ark, and they are walking out into a brand new world, yet a sin-cursed world. And the first thing that Noah and his family do is build an altar to the Lord. You know, I want you to think of it something. If you spent a year on an ark going through a tremendous devastation, watching the world around you get completely destroyed by flood water, would you have some concerns on your heart after you came out of the ark? What kind of things would you be worried about?
What is your desire?
Okay, all right, Lord, what do you want? Okay. Are you going to do this again? How long do we have this time? You know? And every time the clouds moved in and the rain started to sprinkle, remember, they're on the side of a mountain. The clouds move in, the rain starts to sprinkle down, or snow, better yet, they're thinking, is it going to happen again? See, Noah comes off the ark with his family. He builds this altar to the Lord and offers up sacrifices on the altar. Now, we can be sure, because of what it says here in the scriptures, that Noah offered up at least one-seventh of everything he had, of all his resources to live on. to the Lord. He offered them up in praises and in prayers, bringing them before the Lord because God had carried them through that flood judgment. Now, we can be sure that it was heavy on their hearts. They were wondering, would this come again? Would we have to face another flood again? And if we don't keep our lives right with the Lord, are we going to face this flood again? And, you know, we know, I'm sure, if you were locked up, I mean, how many of you were locked up in your house for a month or so with your families? How many times did you have to confess to the Lord, oh, I really blew it today, Lord, because I really got short-tempered, or I just kind of lost it, or the kids were driving me crazy, and you know, and you just had to go. Can you imagine being locked up in the ark for a year? And wondering? Oh, how many times do we have to go to the Lord in confession? Lord, I messed up today. Those darn elephants, they were giving me a bad time. And I just wanted to give one of them a swift kick in the butt. But, you know, and all kinds of stuff. You can imagine. I mean, you see how crazy people are now just because of the whole COVID thing. A year inside an ark with seven other people and close to 2,000 animals. You can only imagine the things that have happened in there. And they come off the ark, and they're offering prayers and sacrifices to God, asking Him, Lord, is this going to happen again? Can you forgive us, Lord? Can you forgive us for our worries? Can you forgive us for our doubts? Can you forgive us for our fears and our anxiety of walking out into a whole new life? And these are the things that are going up before the Lord as Noah offers these sacrifices. And it says in verse 21, the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, never again will I curse the ground because of man, even though every inclination of his heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done. The Lord smells the aroma of the sacrifices that are being brought up before Him, and they are pleasing to Him. It's a reminder for us that when we go to God in prayer, they are a pleasing aroma as they rise up before His throne. They are a sweet incense. Psalm 141:2 says, "May my prayer be set before you like incense. May the lifting of my hands like the evening sacrifice." What did they do with the evening sacrifice? They offered up a bull, a ram, and probably many sheep. And they burnt the fat and the innards parts on the altar. And that, do you ever smell a steak on the grill? What's it make you do? Okay, that's what our prayers are like before God as we come before His throne and lift them up. Revelation 5:8 says, "And when He, Jesus, had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." See, when God's people speak to Him from their hearts, God is so pleased by that. It is a sweet aroma that comes up before His throne. So Noah's prayers go up before the Lord, and the Lord acknowledges those prayers. He acknowledges the offerings that Noah has given a praise for bringing them through the flood of prayer. Lord, how are we going to go forward from this place of supplication and sacrifice as they come before God and lay out their hearts? And then that fear that lays in the back of their minds would be set at ease by God's response. See, God promises never again to destroy the earth in the way He had done. Yes? They, Noah and his family, would still have to live in a sin-cursed world because of Adam's sin and the sin nature that would come upon all the human race after him until the final judgment of the world, when then all things would be made anew and be made pure. Then and then alone, God would once again walk with man on the earth, and so all who trust in Him could fellowship with Him personally.
right here.
Revelation 22:3 says, "No longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and His servants will serve Him." We will be able to go into the throne room of God and bow down before His presence and, "Lord, what can I do for You today? How can I be of help today?" And God will smile at us and welcome us in. For those of you who have kids, do you have to teach them to be bad?
No.
No? That's a good, honest answer. No. No. See, God in His answer to Noah's prayers promises not to destroy the earth again in the way He had. If you look at chapter 9, which is continuing on of this conversation, in verse 11, God says, "I will establish My covenant with you. Never again will all life be cut off by the waters of a flood. Never again will there be a flood to destroy the earth." Then down in verse 15, "I will remember My covenant between Me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life." So God is saying, "I will never use flood waters again to destroy all life on the earth." Why would God make such a promise? Why would He make such a promise? You know, we know that God is a loving and merciful God, that He loves His creation, and He gives grace to all who seek Him. But God knows the heart of man, that it is evil. Even from childhood, it is evil. We don't have to teach kids to be bad. We have to teach them to be good. But He will not destroy the earth again by the judge of a flood. See, God was giving mankind over to their own will. The evil in the heart of man is what we call universal depravity. The universal depravity of mankind originating from the sin of Adam in the Garden of Eden. What this means is that mankind is helpless to save themselves from the depravity and the consequences of it. Put a plate of cookies on the table and tell the kids, "Leave those alone," and walk out of the room. What happens? You answer the question. God knows. He understands this, that we can't help ourselves. That is why He promised to do something about it by sending a Redeemer. The very first promise in the Bible in chapter 3, verse 15. That He would send one who would crush the head of the enemy. Who would be our Redemptor. Who would pay the price for the consequences of our sin by His sacrifice on the cross. Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." See, God knew that we couldn't do it ourselves. All mankind is born with a sin nature, and that nature, along with the influence of the devil, will do all it can to have its own way. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verses 1 through 5. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of His great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved." You see, God is a God of grace and a God of mercy, and He's a just God as well. And because man is not able to save themselves, God was willing to come and do it for us Himself in Jesus. Just as Noah found grace, which is in chapter 6 of Genesis verse 8, it's favor. Noah found grace or favor from God, so we can too. We can find that grace and that favor by taking God at His word, believing Him, and all that He has done for us in Jesus. The evidence of God's holiness and His demand that those who turn to Him and His family, the evidence is clear of God's demand for those who turn to Him should live in holiness, that holiness that God wants for everyone to live. It's clear from the judgment that Noah and his family just came through. Noah and his family just came through a tremendous flood because of sin in the world. God had had enough. He said, I'm done with this. See, it's a reminder for us of the judgment that's to come on the earth once more, and the life that we should be living to be ready for it. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3, since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? If you knew that Jesus was returning tomorrow, how would you live your life today? Would it be different, you think? Would you think through your decisions and the choices you make through the day? Peter says you ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire and the elements will melt in the heat. See, God isn't going to do it by a flood next time. Next time it's going to be by fire. See, the evidence of how sin corrupts the world will be all around Noah and his family as they strive out into the world and struggle to make a living. It's the same for us today. We live in a sin-cursed world, and as we look around, the evidence of it is tremendous. The evidence left behind of the judgment by flood that came upon the earth from Adam's time to Noah's time when he entered the ark. We see the evidences of the curse today as we struggle to make ends meet. We work by the sweat of our brow, as well as what's observed scientifically. The basic law of science, the law of thermodynamics. Anybody know what the law of thermodynamics is? Yeah. Everything wears out and breaks down. Nothing evolves and comes new. Leave a tractor out in the yard, never maintain it, never paint it, never touch it. What are you going to have in 10 years? A rust bucket. Yeah. You know, we see that evidence. We also see the evidence of the flood judgment as we look around the world and observe the structures in the rocks of the earth's crust and of the fossil record. You know what the fossil record is? It's a graveyard. It's a graveyard of those who got caught up in the flood and were buried by it suddenly by the dirt that was picked up by all the floodwaters. Boy, if that isn't a reminder to us, every time they dig up a dinosaur, they say, oh, man's sin. Thank you, Adam. Thank you, Eve. See, we also see these evidences in the way people live their lives. See, God said that every inclination of man's heart was evil. We see the depravity of man's sin nature and the evil in their hearts to even deny God and His existence and proclaim a system of evolution and uniformity just to deny God His headship over all creation. Peter writes in 2 Peter 3:5, but they deliberately forget that long ago by God's word, the heavens existed and the earth was formed out of water and by water. See, many today refuse to acknowledge what is staring them in the face because of sinful pride and arrogance. Verse 22. God says, as long as the earth endures, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night will never cease. How long will God's grace, allowing mankind to follow their own free will, how long will that hold out? Have you ever wondered, if you watch the news, at all lately, you've got to say to yourself, Lord, how long are you going to put up with this? How long are you going to put up with this? See, God says here, as long as the earth remains as it is today. This isn't an indefinite amount of time, because God is a loving God. People say, oh, your God is a loving God. He's not gonna come and judge the world again. He is full of grace and mercy, and that's what you tell us. And that's absolutely true, isn't it? How many of us would have salvation in Christ if God wasn't a God of grace and mercy? But God is also a holy God and a just God. And He will call account the sin, all the sin that is on the earth. He will only put up with man's sin so long. God has a limit. Just like we had the limit with that person who wouldn't listen to what we would say, who wouldn't take our advice, who wouldn't do what we want them to do because we know it's the right thing for them to do, and they wanted to run off and do their own things. God has a limit. 2 Peter 3:10, but the day of the Lord will come like a thief. The heavens will disappear with a roar, and the elements will be destroyed by fire, and the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. Then the sin-cursed world will be cleansed and will be made anew. The old will be gone and the new will have come. Revelations 21, verses 1 to 7. Revelation 21, verses 1 to 7. John writes, then I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, now the dwelling of God is with men, and He will live with them. They will be His people, and He Himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then He said, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. One day, God will come back and cleanse the earth. But for Noah and his family, and for us now, we all have to live in this sin-cursed world where there will be cold and heat. And if you're standing where I am today, you'd know the heat. There'd be cold and heat, there'd be summer, there'd be winter, there'd be springtime, and there'd be harvest. And things would go on, just as we experience today, until the day of the Lord. That will come like a thief. If we're not paying attention, we won't see it. We won't expect it. But if we're watching, Jesus said, we'll know. The time is near. And there's something else we need to understand from this passage in Genesis chapter 8. God knew that the heart of man was evil all the time. So if God was going to allow man to remain on the earth, He would have to let the free will of man go its way, giving man the ability to choose between evil, the evil that's in his heart, or to do the good that God desires us to do. He would have to give them over to their own ways in order for that to happen. If you turn me to Romans chapter 1, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. And we're going to be doing an extensive reading here. So, Romans chapter 1, beginning in verse 18. It says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them, because God has made it plain to them, for since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified Him as God nor gave thanks to Him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like mortal man and birds and animals and reptiles. Therefore, God gave them over in the sinful desires of their hearts to sexual impurity for the degrading of their bodies with one another. They exchanged the truth of God for a lie and worshipped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. Because of this, God gave them over to the shameful lusts. Even their women exchanged natural relations for unnatural ones. And in the same way, men also abandoned natural relations with women and were inflamed with lust for one another. Men committed indecent acts with other men and received in themselves the due penalty of their perversion. Furthermore, since they did not think it worthwhile to retain the knowledge of God, He gave them over to a depraved mind to do what ought not to be done. They have become filled with every kind of wickedness, evil, greed, depravity. They are full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, and malice. They are gossips, slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They are senseless, faithless, heartless, ruthless. Although they know God's righteous decree that those who do such things deserve death, they not only continue to do these very things, but also approve of those who practice them. Watch the news. You, therefore, have no excuse, you who pass judgment on someone else. For at whatever point you judge the other, you are condemning yourself, because you who pass judgment do the same things. Now we know that God's judgment against those who do such things is based on truth. So when you, a mere man, pass judgment on them and yet do the same things, do you not think you will escape God's judgment? Or do you show contempt for the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? But because of your stubbornness and your unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself against yourself for the day of God's wrath, when His righteous judgment will be revealed. God will give each person according to what he has done. To those who, by persistence in seeking in doing good, seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. But for those who are self-seeking and who reject the truth and follow evil, there will be wrath and anger. There will be trouble and distress for every human being who does evil, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. But glory and honor and peace for everyone who does good, first for the Jew and then for the Gentile. For God does not show favoritism. All who sin apart from the law will perish apart from the law. All who sin under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not those who hear the law who are righteous in God's sight, but it is those who obey the law who will be declared righteous. Indeed, when Gentiles who do not have the law do by nature things required by the law, they are a law for themselves, even though they do not have the law, since they show that the requirements of the law are written on their hearts, their consciences also bearing witness, and their thoughts now accusing, now even defending them. This will take place on the day when God will judge men's secrets through Jesus Christ, as my gospel declares. You see, God says this is what's going to happen when He lets the world go their own way. And that's exactly what He did on that day when He said to Noah, I will not do this again. Seed time and harvest will go on day and night, summer and winter, until the end. God gave man the ability to act and desire the free will, which meant there would be options of good and evil for mankind to choose from. God desires that we choose the good, Him and His way, over the evil that fills our hearts. He also knows that without an act on His part moving into our lives, we would never choose Him. That He has to initiate this. Titus 2:11 to 14. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions, to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age. while we wait for the blessed hope, the glorious appearing of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all wickedness and to purify us, purify for Himself a people that are His very own, eager to do what is good. You see, God understood that if He gave man free will, that He knew fully that the inclination of our hearts was evil all the time, that we would not want to choose Him. We would not initiate a relationship with Him. But He wants us to choose Him, to have a loving relationship with Him. So He initiates it, so we can respond to it. He acts to put faith in us so that we might respond. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself. It is the gift of God, not of works, so that no one can boast. See, God is the one who implants that faith into our hearts to say, to tell us He wants a relationship with us. And we have to respond to that faith. You know, Noah was chosen by God to have a relationship with Him. Noah responded in faith through obedience to God, and he seeks God's will for his life through sacrifice and prayer, showing that he continues to trust God for what He says and who He is. So I have to ask us today, have we had God come and tap us on the shoulders, whispering in our hearts, I want you to get to know Me. I want you to have Me in your lives. If so, then it would be well for us to respond to His invitation. Let me ask you a question. Whether you like the president or not, if the president called you up and said, would you like to come to the White House for a private tour and dinner? What would you say?
Need a plane ticket.
Need a plane ticket.
I'm coming to Washington right now.
You know, if it was any president, how would you respond? If you respected the office of the presidency, you would say, yes, I'll go. Because I'd like to see the White House. I'd like to walk through. I'd like to have dinner. I'd like to see how the management of our government works. Can you understand that the God of the universe is tapping on our shoulders saying, I want you to come into relationship with Me? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 6, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For He says, in the time of My favor I heard you, in the day of salvation I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. God is reaching out His hand to us and saying, come. Come and enter into relationship with Me. Even though we live in a sin-cursed world where God has given man over to their free will, we can still have God involved in our lives to help us make it through our journey here. Living lives that are holy and pleasing to God by receiving Jesus into our hearts and into our lives as Savior and as Lord. See, those are the kind of lives that will be witnesses of how God can work in those who give their wills over to Him and of the judgment that will come upon those who choose to follow their own evil hearts and their own evil wills. I'll give you an example of this. For those of you who are believers in Christ, when you're with people who know where you stand, know how you feel about your faith, do you ever notice their swearing reduces tremendously when you're around them? Could you imagine if we as God's people lived lives that were holy and pleasing to Him, the conviction that it would bring upon the world? God said He would not destroy the world again by flood. He did not say He would not judge the world another time in another way. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for Your truths. We thank You, Father, that when You gave us over to follow our own free will, that You just didn't leave us like that, Lord. you continue to give us witness and to give us inclinations of your existence and your being out there. And then at some point, Lord, you come into our lives and tap on our shoulders and say, hey, I want you to get to know me. So, Father, I pray that if there's anyone here today who has not come to that place, they know you're tapping on their shoulder. They know that you are calling them into a relationship with you. I pray, Father, that they would respond in the right way today. That they would turn their hearts over to you. They would understand the truth, the peace, the love, and the grace that you would give them. They would understand that how when you come into our lives, Lord, you start to work in us to make us into the people that you would desire us to be. People who would bring glory to you and honor to you. And Father, be examples for those around us. So Father, I just pray today that if there's anyone here who doesn't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that you would just move their hearts today to turn to you in faith. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, that once we are in your hands, we will never be lost again. That you will hold tightly to us. We thank you for that love and grace that you'll give us that will bring us on into the new kingdom. Into the new world, a world not cursed by sin, but blessed by you. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.